Shores and El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
No, I don't buy it. He didn't, you know, he did apologize. He said it wasn't directed at you.
I worry day to day, honestly, I really do, because I pray to make sure my child and my
wife. A lot has transpired in my life. A lot of ugly things.
Let's move on, dude.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we take you through the looking glass here of this thing called media, man. If you want to know what the story is media. The story is not Obama. It's not health care. Oh, you thought it was about health care, huh? You thought the story is about the health care plan and the, what else do we got going on? The, what else, bud?
Like Hillary Clinton and everybody.
Yeah, like going overseas.
Nope,
ain't about that. The biggest story of all right now is media, because that's where the information's coming from. That's where it gets manipulated. That's where it gets twisted. That's where it gets processed. And then it is fed out the other side like one big, my father used to be very fond of saying, you know, my dad used to say to me, L.A., man, it's like one big mouth and one big ass. Just eats it here and it, you know, blankety blank over there. Well, the media is like that. The media, one big mouth and one big ass. And the biggest story that is not reported day in and day out is this. This is the biggest story of them all, because this is where the information is processed and where it is eventually expelled into your ears or before your eyes. And with all due respect, folks, most people take it for what it is, and they think that they are consuming a healthy meal. They think they're getting the truth. I once again, I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. When people were debating about Obama being full of crap, and he may be, for all I know. He's a politician, so he's full of crap. But here's the thing that we never do debate. We talk about Obama being full of it, or maybe Bush is full of it, but we never ask ourselves whether or not Beck or Hannity or O'Reilly are full of it, do we? We never ask just how full of crap are those guys. Just how much are they feeding us by way of opinion as opposed to news? And we all think we're smart. We all say, oh, well, I know when he's given me an opinion. And I know, well, I'm here to tell you, after 35 years working in this industry, this industry of information and infotainment and entertainment and news, I'm here to tell you that, no, people don't know when they're getting an opinion. People will tell you, oh, no, I got the news the other day. Oh, really? Where'd you get it? Well, I got it from Charlie's News Service. I mean, many times, have you ever get this? Did you see this article? And they'll send it to you by way of email. And it'll say something like, you know, Martians land. Now, it isn't really that weird, but it'll say something similar to that, you know, like Martians are landing, or it's Obama comes from another planet, or Michelle Obama, maybe she actually is descended from apes. And people will say, did you see it? And then you look at the source. And what is the source? It's some silly ass news service, like, for instance, that one that we don't use anymore around here, that CNS. It's from, in other words, what passes for a news service, it's actually a blog. You're getting it from an opinion site. You're getting it from, I got Prison Planet. I love that one.
Oh, man. Prison Planet's so bitching.
Yeah, I get a lot of information from that. You guys, are you serious, man? Prison Planet, I think, ain't it run by that guy Alex Jones?
I don't know, man, but they had an article in there about 9/11 and everything.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's not even a news site. It's horse crap. So the biggest story that's not being told is media and how the information is being manipulated and how it's being fed to you. Now, I don't see it becoming a big story anytime soon. I don't see people, for instance, saying, hey, you know what? I'm beginning to question exactly whether or not Fox News is lying to me or CNN is lying to me, or what's going on with these guys anyway? I mean, I feel like a real chump here, you know? All this jazz this guy's laying on me about this, that, or something else, you know, and telling me that this is how it is. And for instance, George Washington is used. The image of George Washington is used by so many people these days as an image, as a symbol of a resistance to the tyranny of a strong federal government. I mean, that's pretty much what the Tea Party people are opposed to. They don't like the idea of that much power being ceded with the federal government. And they have George Washington's face sitting there. George Washington was a huge proponent of a strong federal government. George Washington was at odds with Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, the two guys that wanted more power to the states, all power, in fact, to the states. Jefferson and Madison didn't trust a strong federal government. How educated are the Tea Party people when they have George Washington as their... I'm not knocking you guys in the Tea Party. Just use the right people, will you? God, it drives me out of my mind! Sorry.
Well, what difference does it make? It's just another guy with a three-cornered hat.
Yeah. Oh, just another guy with a three-cornered hat, huh?
Yeah.
You got to use George Washington, man. You use him as the symbol of a strong federal government. That guy took the troops out to Pennsylvania and kicked ass on those Whiskey Rebellion guys. He ain't exactly the guy you use as a symbol of somebody who resists taxes. He was a military guy. He was the commander-in-chief. He went out and kicked some ass. If you want to use somebody, use Jefferson.
Well, nobody knows the difference.
What do you say the difference between the two of them?
Who, Washington and Jefferson?
Yeah.
Well, there's a big difference between the two of them. One of them was a guy that believed in states' rights, like I tell you. The other guy believed in a strong federal government. One of them was a military guy. The other guy was more of a thinker and a writer and a politician. Washington probably wasn't very comfortable being president. I think Jefferson loved being president. Funny for a guy who was a states' rights guy to suddenly just revel in the federal power of being a president. But that's reality. That's politics, see? I'm not knocking him. Thomas Jefferson was one of our great Americans, you know, whatever.
On a card, only on a... because he had slaves and everything.
What? What an idiot, man.
Yeah, well, it got nothing to do with anything, man.
So all of these things, when you, at the end of the day, when you're watching the news or whatever the hell it is that you're doing, remember that it isn't just news that you're listening to or watching. You're watching a guy or a woman giving it to you. And when I say giving it to you, with all due respect, you're getting it all right. And they're looking at you and they're saying, hey, guess what? For instance, I'll give it a classic example. Yesterday, they tried to sell this all day. That Al Sharpton, who, I don't have any great love for this guy, but they said Al Sharpton said that the American people voted for socialism, that that's what they want. All right, well, we listened to that quote. We listened to the context of the quote. We listened to the tape recording. He said no such thing. Believe me, I don't have any great love for that nut either. But and if he said it, we would have laid it on you. He didn't say that. They pulled that out of context. It was one of those cute moves that every now and again the news people make to create a controversy. If it's a slow news day and you got to get people watching, what do you do?
Well,
what do you do if it's a slow news day and you're afraid that people are not going to watch? You create a controversy. Like, for instance, NBC tried to create a controversy when they said that Michelle Obama, there's a controversy about her wearing shorts. No, there wasn't any controversy at all. It was NBC trying to create something. Didn't happen. Yesterday, Fox, it looks like Al Sharpton is saying the American people voted for socialism. He never said any such thing. And it never got off the ground. It was a big, fat, wet fart, Fox. Nice going. And the same thing with CNN with that bull crap about how on the 4th of July, man, they really screwed it up. Man, we could have had terrorists attacking us. But look at these military maneuvers in the Potomac River. And it turns out CNN was the entity that misreported it. But they try to get something going that doesn't even exist because they want to keep you viewing. Folks, I'm telling you that the biggest story today is media, information, the reporting of information, the reporting of news. The mere existence of internet, television, radio. That's the biggest story because they're competing for audience. And there's a lot of bodies that are getting thrown out the front door right now. There's a lot of bloodletting going on. There are a lot of companies that are going under. There's a lot of stock prices, a lot in the way of stock prices that are going through the floor. There are a lot of people losing their jobs. There's a lot of golden parachutes. There's a lot of out with the old and in with the new. There's a lot of real hacks and real old school broadcasters and news people that are just gone. I mean, they can't keep up. And what's in their place? The bloggers. And when it comes to talk radio, entertainment talk is where it's at. What I do, not left and right, not political talk, entertainment talk. Political talk, people are getting sick of because they don't think quite frankly, they're getting the whole story. All right, Austin Amark is going to join us this hour. Sarah Palin gets her own reality show. Aren't you thrilled? And do you live in a city where you're likely to get hacked online? We'll tell you where the cities are where you're more likely or most likely to be the victim of cybercrime. Coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And also, we have a designer that says she's not going to make plus-size clothing because it promotes obesity. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Are you talking about that, man?
What?
I don't know, George Washington.
Just because he wears a three-cornered hat, man, it doesn't mean anything.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, we have a very special announcement on Friday. Friday, 7 p.m., a big announcement. And on that day, Friday, I can tell you it's...
What a wonderful day.
www.philhendryshow.com with a big-time announcement. George. Our website, your access to the website, what the website offers, and, you know, all that jazz.
That's a great song.
Thank you, bud. Anyway, so check it out, www.philhendryshow.com. And by the way, you can go there right now and take a look at live streaming video of our show. We have the audio downloads available after each show, so if you missed it, you can listen to it. And we have a five-day video archive, so if you like watching the show, you can go to our video archive and check that out. We keep a five-day archive. We don't keep more than a five-day archive because, honestly, 3 hours, and we do 4 hours of video, so we do a one-hour pre-show. That's a huge file, man. I mean, that's just a huge, huge file, and I just I don't know whether it's worth it. We got the audio. That's fine. And like that, okay? So check it out again Friday, man, for our big announcement on the Phil Hendry Show website. Now, there goes that Biden again, man. Can you believe this cat, Joe Biden? Now, he is our vice president. He didn't mean anything by this, but he was caught dropping the F-bomb again, this time as he was introducing the prez.
Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
You check that out?
Thank you.
What did he do?
Thank you, everybody.
What do you mean, what did he do? What he did was he said to Obama that, I forget what he said. Here it is again.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
Yeah, he said it's a big effing deal. Joe.
Thank you, everybody.
Big freaking mouth on him, man. Here's the thing about Vice President Biden, and I'm not going to make a huge issue of the fact that he's got a big fat mouth, but there is something more to it than that. And this is not to knock the guy. I'm not a huge Biden fan. It ain't got nothing to do with his politics. I'm more into because politics, who cares? If somebody is so married to a political point of view that they can't be flexible or pragmatic enough to help our country in a position of leadership, I'm not interested in them. I happen to think that President Bush, President Obama, they qualify. They, you know, they're not so locked in to ideology. I know there's people that disagree. God. But Biden, he's got a problem. He's got an ego on him, man. He thinks that he is just, whatever it was that God forgot to do, that one final chore, Joe was it. And so he cannot appear in any public setting without drawing some attention to himself. It's impossible for our vice president to be anywhere without putting on some kind of a grandstand play. Now, you may ask, what are you talking about with this, man? It was off mic. He knows full well there's a microphone that's on. Now, what I'm asking is this of the vice president. Have a little bit of class, man. If you know that there's a live mic, and come on, how many times have you guys been caught in that situation? You don't know that the microphone is live. You know that there's a live mic. You understand that that's going to pick up residual conversation. Have a little bit of class and watch your language. Not come off like some stevedore, okay? Or like you're taking the trash out at one of those neighborhood bars you used to work in. Okay, Mr. VP, sir? 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to Austin. Austin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Phil, here's the thing about Joe Biden. In my opinion, I felt that he's the very first person to have the guts to say to Obama that, you know, that he told him to F off.
And no, he didn't. He said it's a big effing deal.
Well, yeah, what he was saying, I think what you missed and what the media, a lot of people in the media missed, was that he was saying to Obama, big, big deal. You know, you think you're so special, right? And I know that Obama was getting up. And
do you really think?
Hold on.
Do you really think the vice president's going to say that to his boss?
Hold on. But Obama was getting up to announce the health care bill, right?
Yeah.
And you were just saying, because this goes against, you're going against what you said. And
I said he has a big ego.
Yeah, you said he's got a big ego. And he does, I agree, he does have a big ego. And so he don't want to see Obama get up there and get all kinds of love. So he said to Obama, as Obama's going up there, big effing deal, like you ain't all that special.
Are you telling me you really think that the vice president's going to say that to the guy that's his boss?
He's not going to fire him.
Well, he could marginalize. You know, there are ways of locking a vice president out of anything by just simply saying, you go back to the vice president's residence, sit on your ass, and collect your money.
Why would you think that Biden would not want...
And what if Biden wants to run for president?
Obama's going to be the president. He's going to be the next nominee.
No, but I mean, what if after Obama, if Obama gets elected to a second term, after that, who do you think the nominee of the party is going to be?
I don't know. You can't say.
Oh, get out of here. Yes, you can say. It's going to be the vice president. Who the hell do you think it was after Carter? Who do you think it was after Reagan? The VP. Who was it after Clinton? It's always the VP. Because he's got that 8 years of experience. That's the most experienced guy. And Biden wants to be the presidential nominee of the party. Now, what makes you think he's going to make that a reality by telling Obama, big effing deal, you think you're so special?
Because of what you just said, that Biden is a loose cannon, and he's got such a monstrosity of an ego, I guess what I was going to say.
A monstrous ego.
Yeah, a monstrous ego, that he is... He can't shut up, and he's going to say to Obama, you know, big deal, big effing deal. So you think you're all that because you got a healthcare plan? And
well, that doesn't make any sense, man.
Why not?
Oh, come on. What do you mean, why not?
If Biden has got the ego you said he's got,
but even if Bigo, yeah.
Who's Bigo?
Biden.
No, but you said Bigo.
There is no Bigo, Biden. I know what I said, it's Biden, and if Biden said to Obama, big effing deal, you think you're all that because you got a health care plan passed, for the short-term gratification that he might have gotten out of something like that, the fact is that Obama would take all of these little things under consideration when the time came for him to endorse somebody to be the nominee of the Democratic Party after he left office, Biden would be at the bottom of the list.
Biden's the only guy that would make any sense.
If Obama could go to the Democrats and say, you can't nominate this guy, he's an imbecile. He's a blithering idiot. He embarrasses the president. He doesn't know how to stay on whatever the hell they call it, you know, on script or online. He can't stay on point. And he's not only that, he told me to F off when I was at the beginning of one of the most wonderful announcements of my presidency.
Well, that's a good point.
Yes, it's a good point. Thanks for your call, sir.
I was wondering, can I get an autograph?
877.
You want to get an autograph?
All right, call him back. Get an autograph. 877-876-PHIL. That's my opinion. Biden is a great guy, I'm sure. There's a lot of people that love him. He's a great father. And, the state of Delaware, they can't live without him, you know. But he does have that big-time ego. That's what I think it motivates him. And when he has a piece of the stage, or when he has the entire stage to himself, he has to make a play, some kind of a big deal splash. And he knows full well that microphone's going to pick up that effing this and effing that. Maybe he doesn't care anymore. I don't know. I personally would like to have a president or a vice president got a little more class than that. Okay, so that is, there goes that Biden here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show for whatever the hell date this is. It'll live in infamy, man. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. We also have coming up later on in the program, who do we have as our next guest, man? Well, we'll figure it out. Anyway, Ann Coulter pisses off Canada, the entire country, as a matter of fact. 877-876-PHIL. Also, Ted Bell will be joining us from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we'll be talking to him about Kid Fit USA and the Laker tickets he gave the kids.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. What does this mean? I'm running out of disk space. I'm running out of disk space on my video computer. How's that possible? I don't store anything on that computer. You guys better get in there. I don't know if my web guys are listening. You better get into that computer and get rid of those bloody files. We got 85 million files in there we don't need anymore, okay?
What do you want me to call a guy?
I don't know, man. I'm hoping they're listening. I'll email them. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Michael in Los Angeles listening on K-Talk. Michael, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Phil, I know it's late. Thanks a lot, okay? Long-time listener, sure. First-time caller, as they all say. How you doing tonight?
Thank you. I'm good, thanks.
No, I was just listening tonight. And you know what? It's kind of funny what you mentioned about a lot of things. I think we're living in an era of the greats, of the last of the Caesars. Rome went through this period also, and I don't want to go way off into some context that most people won't understand, but we're getting a lot of leaders in our country that they're based on the image. They're just demagogues. Like, you know, a perfect example, you just mentioned about Sarah Palin. It's sad because I look at her as a woman that's only a few years older than me. I'm in my 40s. Come on now, you know, and I'm like, you went through public school. Didn't you learn anything about the world or anything about society?
Mm-hmm.
But apparently not. You know? And it's funny when you mention Fox News. People don't want to think anymore in this country, and that's what's scaring me. They just want someone to tell them what to think about, and they want to be angry because someone told them to be angry. So, you know, you could write to Glenn Beck because that's what they went on.
Well, I think I don't think that people don't want to think. I think they do want to think, but I think what passes for thinking, what passes for intellectual content is what we have to ask ourselves about, you know. It just because a guy talks to you about George Washington or the Age of Enlightenment – and it sounds really heavy, it doesn't necessarily mean he's telling you the truth about it, you know. I think it's really funny that people call Obama a liar, but we think the television personalities tell us the truth. I find that to be one of the more amusing things about the world that we live in. But I think,
goes back to the old attitude that, you know what, you get a bunch of people in a room together, and they say that, you know what, they may not agree on one thing, but if you give them enough time, they'll agree on somebody they hate. And our society
yeah,
has gone
true.
Yeah. Our society has gone down. I mean...
Well, look, I mean, you know, I remember there have been periods throughout where people have been worried about society. It all depends on what is the vessel, man? What ship are we sailing in? Is it strong enough, you know? And it's a pretty good ship. We got all kinds of crap going on. Maybe we need to drain the bilge a little bit or something, but the vessel is still pretty strong. Thanks for calling us, man. I know that sounds like talk show host talk, but I really believe it, you know? I mean... It's a really strong vessel. As a matter of fact, it's the strongest of all of them that are out there on the seas, on the seven seas.
What are you talking about, like, we're in a pirate ship or something?
No, I didn't say anything about a pirate ship, you fool. I said a ship.
You said the strongest vessel. Yeah.
Oh, pfft. All right, China thwarts Google's detour around censorship. Now, here is an interesting case of an American company... And, you know, we said this back when Yahoo was assisting the Chinese authorities in obtaining ISP addresses and the email accounts and the actual physical location of some people that the Chinese government didn't like, that Yahoo was assisting in the tracking down of thought criminals. And at the time we said, you know, what is going on here? I mean... have we become so multinational? Have our corporations become so borderless that it, you know, wherever they are, that's what they is, and they're no longer American companies. I mean, if there's anything that connotes being an American company is that you observe certain traditions that are American. One of them is free speech, for God's sake. Google decided that they would stop censoring their search engine. They would stop censoring certain information that the communist Chinese leaders wanted them to censor. They decided that they would stop. So China decided to throw up a firewall. Google went around it by, I think, sending people to a Hong Kong URL as opposed to mainland China. They would go to Hong Kong, which is the former British colony, now a part of, or at least under the administration of Beijing. But they're a little more, there's a little more freedom that is allowed in Hong Kong, simply because the tradition of Hong Kong has been so free. You can't immediately put the handcuffs on it when so much business is being done there. Well, China saw that, and they went and they firewalled that. Not that Google didn't know any of this stuff was going to happen. Now, here's the part that you start to wonder. The investors, the advertisers, the people with a financial interest in Google are all pissed off that Google isn't healing too and doing what the communist Chinese want them to do. Why is that? Because the stock price went down $8.50 or 1.5% to $5.49 a share. That's a hell of a lot of money, man. For one share of stock. But isn't this exactly what we've been wanting to have happen to some company somewhere, anywhere? I don't know who. I don't know why. You know what we always were talking about customer loyalty, customer satisfaction, quality, delivering a product, and not necessarily looking at a stock price or looking at a quarterly percentage or looking at a yearly percentage? Google is making an attempt to do just that. In other words, they're trying to be a company that cares about content, product, and its customer. Are they making money? No, they're losing money. Is that smart? I'm not necessarily saying it isn't smart. You know, one of the most popular movies in the history of American cinema is Miracle on 34th Street. And in that film, we are told, the message is delivered to us loud and clear, that when you are honest, it's good for business. Remember when the Santa Claus is telling everybody, well, you know, don't shop at this dump. You should go across the street and shop at Harry's department store. And they were going to fire him from the department store, but they found out that people were so happy he was being honest that they came and they gave their business to this one department store that he said, you know, don't shop here. Go and get it at a better price. So he actually got good. He got a good feeling from the customers. I don't know what I'm talking about.
What movie? What is this?
Yeah, I never heard of it, man.
Miracle on 34th. Never mind. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Because I never seen that.
But the point is that we've been asking ourselves, what is business about? Is it just about a dollar, or is it about maintaining business over a long period of time? Is it about maintaining relationship with your customers over a long period of time? When you were a kid. Because I remember going to places like the Arcadia Lumber Yard, where I grew up in Arcadia, California. It was the Arcadia Lumber Yard. That's where everybody went to get lumber. I used to go there with my dad. He'd get lumber because he was building a fence or he was building a porch. And that was where we got our hardware. And I used to love going there, man. That was the place where everybody that lived in my town went to get hardware. That was like, where everybody, you could have gone to Sears. We had Sears. There were other places, but that was my town's hardware store, and they served us. And, you know, I'm not saying we want to return to the days of George Bailey and It's a Wonderful Life. I ain't saying that. But I'm saying, come on, man. I mean, how about a little bit of customer loyalty, customer satisfaction, a relationship between a company and its customer that goes beyond how much they can stick it to you so they can make that bottom line fat so that when they go in front of the stockholders, everybody's got a big fat smile on their face. Here's Google doing something that frankly made the stockholders pissed off, and they said, now that's tough. We got to do the right thing here. What the hell do you think we are? We're Google, okay? We are a porthole to information, and you're telling us that we're supposed to heel to these commies because they don't believe in information. Well, the internet is about information. It's about information and allowing the consumer to make up his mind. And you want us so that we can maintain that, 500 and whatever, but I guess it was like $557 a share, that price. You want us to go ahead and do what the commies are telling us to do to censor this information. We're not going to do it. On Tuesday, a search request from within mainland China about the 1989 Tiananmen democracy protests returned to notice that the page cannot be displayed. And, of course, this was a reporter testing this firewall that the Chinese had put up. And what would be, what's more explosive, a piece of information or piece of history in mainland China than the 89 Tiananmen Square protests? So immediately that reporter entered that in, and that's what he got. Page cannot be displayed. It also caused the web browser to disconnect for several seconds. Under the old google.cn.china, a similar query usually returned a list of sanitized sites about Tiananmen Square. If the Chinese leaders really want to foil Google, they could block all mainland access to the Hong Kong service, or they could exert their control of Chinese telecommunication companies to show the speed of queries and responses, or slow rather, to help drive traffic to homegrown rivals, meaning slow down Google's, the access to Google, slow down Google's ability to return information and get everybody onto a Chinese search engine. All of these things run a risk for Google. They lose money. They lose the possibility, the potential of the billion and a half customers, potential billion and a half customer marketplace. Not that many people have internet, but you know what I'm saying, in China. That's a big market. But they're in the information business, and the Chinese government is not in the information business. The Chinese government is not in the business of providing information to its people. So Google's in the wrong business when it comes to China. And Google knows that. And so they're going to say to China, well, here's the business that we're in. This is what you've contracted. You don't want it? Take it and stick it. Because you may have a billion people, but the fact of the matter is the long-term effect on Google in terms of how people view that company, and especially from within China. Well, I'm going to go to Google, but what the hell am I going to get? I just heard they cut a deal with the Chinese government. Man, I'm going to get the same bull crap that I've been getting from all these other sites. What is the long-term effect for Google with their customers? The customer's not going to trust the company anymore. So, Google, thank you for giving us at least one example of an American company that is trying to take us back to the highway of relationship between company and consumer. I sound like I've been giving a speech here or something.
Well, I think it was pretty good, but I think going on and on about that, the Chinese are going to say,
"You blew it!"
And they're not going to be one.
Get out of here. 877-876-PHIL, the Chinese. What, they won't want my show in China?
Yeah, man. They'll block your show.
I wonder if my show is heard in China at all, do you think? I don't know. Probably not. I can't imagine that it is. There must be a page not displayed when you go to the Phil Hendry website. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Baby fat isn't so cute when you realize it'll give the kids diabetes and heart disease. Ted Bell, still to come.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
Phil. I don't know where the hell the story went, but Ann Coulter was giving a speech to a bunch of Canadians, and they got pissed off at her, okay? Ann Coulter is whatever she is, right? This isn't about here. Again, we're talking about speech. We're not talking about what they're saying. She says a lot of stuff that pisses people off. She's also, you know, I get it about Ann Coulter, and maybe some people don't. She's sort of punk rock. It's satire. I get it. You know, it's over the top. She called John Edwards the F word, and I don't know what the point of that was, but I do get the point of saying that Arabs fly magic carpets. I understand what she's saying there. She's drawing a comparison culturally. You understand? Yeah, I know that you guys understand, but now some people would call that racist. I don't. First of all, it's a ridiculous, asinine thing to call that racist, because that's a comment on culture. That's not a comment on race. That's a comment on something people choose, quite frankly, that is to live a certain way, to wear a certain kind of clothing, and to practice a certain kind of religion. All of that is, to my way of thinking, that's a cultural choice, as opposed to being born black, gay, or what else? White. So Calder had made a comment about how Arabs ought to ride flying carpets. And the article written in Canada, and I tell you something, folks, my parents are from Canada. I was born here in the States, along with my younger sister. And my older brother and older sister were born in Canada. And my folks came here in 1949. And thank God they did. My old man left Canada, and he took the whole family and shoved them into a 49 Ford and said, "Rot's a ruck, thanks so much," and split. Because Canada, after World War II, was heading down the European superhighway of God knows, I don't know what these cats are thinking, man, but you can't say anything in that country now without having it being subject to serious scrutiny and possible censorship. Including, for instance, my radio show, which was popped off the air in a couple of stations up there because we used the word, well, we used it a word that is generally considered to be offensive, but it ain't the N-word when it comes to Italians. We use the word WAP. It happens to be an acceptable, albeit offensive for some, but it is acceptable over the broadcast airwaves to use that word to a certain degree. If you overdid it, if you were pounding that word every 5 minutes, there's going to be a community somewhere where your show is aired that's going to get pissed off. I understand that. But in Canada, forget it, man. They bounced me off the radio stations up there. That's how tight in the ass they are. Talk about a pole wedged. So here's Ann Coulter giving a speech at Western Ontario University, and a young Muslim student stands up to ask a question.
"You also said that we should get all the Muslims to boycott all airlines. When asked what the alternative modes of transportation were, you suggested flying carpet. Of this university, Muslim, should I be converted to Christianity? Second of all, since I don't have a magic carpet, what other roles do you suggest?"
So Ann Coulter had said, you know, you ought to try a magic carpet in terms of transportation at some other point in her illustrious career making that statement. So she's confronted with her statement by that student. And the student you heard at the very end said, "Since I don't have a magic carpet, what other mode of transportation do you suggest?" And Ann responds with camel. And here it is. Take a camel. Okay, here is the student interviewed after the fact. As a matter of fact, this young lady's name is Fatima Al-Danar, and she talks to Canadian television about the exchange.
"As a female, as a Muslim, as a student of this university, I felt an obligation to kind of represent that. I got up and left because it was absolutely ridiculous. She's talking about political correctness, and right there she blatantly she stabbed me in the heart. That was rude. Use your camel? I mean, come on."
Well, look, here's what I think. We have a right to critique each other when it comes to the choices that we make. We have every right in the world to lampoon or hate someone because they're born a certain color, born a certain orientation, born ugly, born bald, born, in other words, biologically, genetically married to certain physical traits. That's dirty pool. That's low. We recognize that, and we do not support that. We don't allow that to take place. We consider it racist, in some instances sexist, and so forth. But if you make the choice in your life to walk around with a bag on, if you make the choice in your life to live a certain way, then we, as Americans, and I don't know about anybody else, we comment on stuff like that. "Hey, look at you, man. You're wearing that funny-looking hat." "What do you mean?" "Well, the hat's funny." "Well, that's my hat, man." "All right, okay, it's your hat. Jeez. But it's a funny-looking hat." And those two people work it out. He moves into the neighborhood. The guy's got a funny-looking hat. You know, well, I don't want to hate a guy because of his hat. Tell me about your hat. And boom, boom, boom. And ideally, we work it out. You come from Arabia, and you got all that oil. And how about that Alibaba and the 40 thieves? Ha, 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 ha. You know, we've gotten to a point now where we don't know the difference between making a legitimate comment on a cultural affectation and someone's race or gender. Race and gender, that's one thing. But if somebody is reading from a book, wearing a funny hat, putting a bag on, whatever it is that they choose to do, then we have the right in our country, I don't know about any other country, to talk about it. Unfortunately, some people will threaten you with a form of some kind of censorship, including violence, which has happened in some countries of the world, notably in the Netherlands, and it scares some people away from speaking their minds. We shouldn't get into that. So there was Anne, anyway, with the camel comment. And I'm very, very proud of her, and good luck, Anne, getting out of Canada. I'm kidding. We'll be back with Ted Bell on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, take a flying saucer.
Flying saucer?
Phil Hendry.
Flying carpet, man.